Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Hey, people, we're living in the last days. Don't you know? Things are about to change. We're not living like all the past Christians. Have you figured this out yet? Have you gotten into your mind that we're the Christians that are living in the last days? So things aren't going to be the same as they were yesterday. And time's gone by. You know, Christians died. They lived. They died. And so forth and so on. But guess what? I'm going to die. At least not of the ordinary way of dying. You know, whatever the case is, that you're going to die. 50 years ago, 60 years ago, you would have just died. Some of you are still getting up there in age, so you're going to die. And if you die, some of you, you know, that are way up there in age, aren't going to make it to the tribulation period. You're still sort of part of the old church, so that when you do die, because you're too old to live into the last days, as it were, you're going to die. And having Jesus as your Lord and Savior is going to get you saved. You already accepted Jesus, so you believe that you are saved. And as long as you keep your faith and you go to the grave believing that Jesus died for your sins and God rose him on the third day and he is the Son of God, it doesn't really matter what else you sort of kind of believe. It does. But the basic foundation gets you to heaven. If you don't lose that basic foundation in Christ Jesus. But if you do, then there ain't no turning back. But there's a lot of you, lots and lots and lots of you, that aren't that old. And so, you're going to be around. The only way you're going to die and get home free, if there is such a thing as getting home free to heaven, is to die in an accident, get sick, be killed. But who knows how Antichrist or just, you know, somebody doesn't like it. As long as you believe in Jesus, in the basic sinner's prayer, that Jesus died on the cross. He came. He first loved you, and he is worthy. He can pay the price. Then, if you accept this and you believe in him and telling people this, then if you die for whatever reason, you're going to go to heaven. But you see, we're in different times today. Different things are happening. And it may make your transition a little bit more difficult. You see, when you die in Christ, this thing that we call washed in the blood, which you hear before, it's been symbolized. It's a symbol. You know, and a lot of Christians really believe they've been washed. Kind of have the idea that getting washed doesn't hurt. It's kind of like you're clean, you know. You put your dirty clothes in the washing machine, and next thing you know, you got them in the dryer, and you got them out, and you're all sparkly white and clean, you know. Your sins, we're like, what they call it? Really sinful. And then you got washed in white as snow, like crimson. And so what you're thinking about Christianity is that somehow or another magically you're white as snow. You don't have this concept that there's something to deal with washing, and you're washed in the blood. What do you think this means? Picnic? Magic? Christians got this kind of idea, it's home free. You get to heaven home free. There's no such easy path to heaven. Narrow is the gate. When you go to heaven, you're going to squeeze through. And if you ain't too up on your ideas of knowing the truth to set you free, And you just got your own customs and traditions and doctrines, which most of Christianity is all about. Hardly going to the Bible, because any verse they read, they have this picture formed in their head, which is called tradition, which is called conditioning, which is called cultural and so forth. We have our own ideas what verses mean. We have no concept, but compare it with real life times of Jesus or Moses. Anything in those days. We don't care about real life facts unless it's fun. It's fun to to try to do geological studies on the life of Jesus and see what we come up with. A lot of the things are fun to discover and learn about. You know, there are interesting things. Your pastor teaches you some pretty fantastic things. But when it gets to anything else, you hate it. You just go on tradition. Tradition is good enough for you. You don't have to worry about non-tradition. All you have to think about in your little faith walk is what feels good. You know, the little bits of sorrows, the little bits of pain and everything. Some of you guys complain quite a bit about pretty serious walk. You had some pretty deep valleys you had to go through and so forth and so on. And so some of you really think you've got something to talk about, that you've been there, you've done that in Christ Jesus. But you haven't done a thing, people. You've got these doctrines of hate, and you call it love. Your behavior manifests such terrible stuff. You know, Christianity's been doing an awful lot of bad stuff. Killed millions of people. He weights, loads, heavy burdens on so many people throughout time. And guess what? Today's Christians are even worse. You know, today's Christianity has to get ready for Antichrist. You know that? You have to begin to get ready for Antichrist. And if there's a church around that's not helping Antichrist, Antichrist is not going to get anywhere. We like to believe that we won't be around. So, you know, magically, Satan prepares so much. I mean, he's been working 5,000 years. The governments and traditions are throughout, I mean, the land, the setup, the government, the plans, the goals, the billions of dollars of infrastructure that's built just to kill you. Isn't just for vain. They're going to wake up one day and you're gone. So they don't have anybody to round up, to cut their heads off. And so you got this idea that you don't go through the tribulation, church. People, you're going to go through the tribulation. A little bit of it. 1,260 days minimum. And a maximum of 1,235 days. And you don't seem to get it. When people die and do not come back, see, nobody's giving you a testimony of what happens when you die. They don't come back and tell you. They might tell you a little bit about hell, and they might tell you a little bit about parks and so forth, and they might tell you a little bit more insight to this and that, but they never, ever can tell you about death's gate. Because death gate's a permanent thing, you know. You go through death gate, you don't come back from death gate. And death gate is something like a car wash. You start at one end, and you go through it, and you come out clean. But you know, car washes are pretty mild. So you have to go start looking at the most serious of washing machines. And then you have to use a kind of soap that can bleach out and wash out and dissolve any sins you might have. The soap is a literal washed in the blood. The blood is the soap. So when you die and don't come back and you believe in Christ, the home free thing is you're guaranteed to get washed and scrubbed. And you don't have to ever even have to consider not making it, because you don't have to make a choice. Your choice was you died in faith. And so then you get washed. And you'll go through a lot. You're not going to forget it quickly. But us that are alive, we're not going to get the luxury of dying in faith, because we'll be alive when Jesus comes to take us in the rapture. So how do we get to heaven having never been washed except symbolically, there, I got it. So when you notice that you are, I only want to do half my program here, so I keep looking at my watch. I'm going to do half the program somewhere else. Behind me, there's going to be, it's the most southern point of Taiwan. And I may dub in a little video showing you scenes from that area. But you know, when we're alive, because, you know, There's 2,000 years of church sin. Look at Leviticus chapter 26 and then go down to the fourth level of disobedience and you'll see the state of the worldwide church of God. Those people that call themselves true believers, Christians. And you'll see that we're in the worst case syndrome of disobedience towards God. You don't care about checking your pastor out. You don't care about checking your headquarters out to see who they're involved with, who they're going to bed at night with. Because they're joining up with Buddha. They're joining up with Reverend Moon. They're joining up with all kinds of things. They're setting Satan next to Jesus and saying, Jesus and Satan now worship together and pray for good things to happen and go out in the world together as a team to do good things. Yeah. It's a little bit more worse than Bush and Clinton joining up and going around the world. Because technically they've always been on the same team, but you kind of get an idea when you see them going together, it looks kind of disgusting. People that supposedly have such a different set of circumstances, at least how to get to the New World Order, together. But anyway, so you're going to have to get clean. And this is called... I've got about 30 seconds I want to go here. This is called washed in the blood. The two witnesses are going to do the washing. And you're not going to like those two witnesses. Got about 20 seconds here. So I'm going to stop here and we'll flash over to the next last 12 minutes of the program here. So I just want to keep getting the idea here that washed in the blood is a little bit more serious than just symbolism of being washed in the blood. Literal washing is coming soon. Flashing over to the next scene.
Well, I told you I'd kind of move to another location. Now I'm in some place, I think it's called Bolia or something like that. It's a hot springs. You can probably see it up there, a place you can get into really hot water, at least at 42C in one of them and about 39C. So I think that's in the neighborhood of 100 something degrees. Anyway, so I'm here, still in Taiwan, just came up from the south, and now I'm finishing up here. Just wanting to let you kind of understand this getting washed in the blood stuff is pretty significant, and it's really important. And you should really take in consideration what you're doing, you know. When you speak against people or when you have your own little set of doctrines and you think that you're right in line, when you got to understand there's been 2,000 years of Christianity. So what makes you something special and know it all? You know, nobody else ever knew a thing. Somehow or another, God lost it with all the 2,000 Christians that went before you, 2,000 years of Christian went before you. Then look at all the denomination. Why is your denomination right? And I get a lot of people that just say, hey, you don't go to church, or you have some off-the-wall name of church that any other mainline denomination would simply call a Christian cult. It's kind of funny when Christian cult, kind of, I call them Christian cult anyway, and Christian cult to me simply means that it takes a while to get you to tell me what the name of your church is, and then finally when you do, it is something that's never been heard of before, and it has a particular name involved in it that is typical of churches that have gone away from any of the mainline. Of course, you know, their argument is all the mainline are wrong and they're right. Go figure. Somebody's got to be wrong and somebody's got to be right. All the denominations, each one I'm saying they're right and you're wrong. So where is it that you have any business trying to figure out that you're right? You're not to go out and judge people. You're to believe the best you can with what you got. And you could teach others what you learned. Now, teaching is something that is not witnessing. Do you know that? When you witness, you're telling somebody about something that you experienced. That is witnessing. You got saved. You could tell somebody what happened and how that happened to you and the things that happened afterward. When you start going into things like doctrine and things that what Jesus said and what they mean and everything like that, that opens a whole new can of worms. You got to do an awful lot of research and study and everything to get some of the facts right. Now, some of the stuff doesn't need a lot of facts and understanding, but there's an awful lot that does. You know, Jesus spoke a language. You know, there's the Hebrews there, and they had all their time in the Old Testament. And there's the counterfeit Bible, all modern translations. If you go look up Westcott Hort in your browser, you'll see that all modern translations are corruptions. They have 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions with the specific design to take Christ out of Jesus. This has quite a history. You know, it started 2,000 years ago. Both the Word of God and the counterfeit Word of God were translated into Latin Vulgate in the same century, the second century. And you got to understand now, you can't be going around picking up your new modern version and trying to associate that with the Word of God. You know, there's lots of ways. Like I said, look at Westcott and Hort. You know, they're more evil than just making a counterfeit Bible for you to have in your hands today. They actually were involved in all kinds of things. They're in the occult, and that's not just wishful thinking. And they hated the things that basically, if you're a true believer, you know, at least you think you are, and that's what you tell everybody and tell yourself. Then Westcott hated your guts. Westcott and Hort hated the King James Version of the Bible. And science was growing in those days. The colleges were ready for something new, and they thought the true believer kind of stuff was kind of archaic and wasn't with the times, and science has shown so much of the Bible not correct and everything. They were ripe and ready for a new version. And so Westcott and Hort, you know, they're very important people. One of them was set on the board of the Church of England Revised the Bible Committee, and they effectively revised the Bible, the entire Bible, and it became the official Church of England's Bible. But you see, having a counterfeit before Israel became a nation would be useless. Satan couldn't do a thing with that because simply people would still die in faith, because that's the only way you're going to get to heaven, is die. When you die and you still believe in Jesus, it really doesn't matter what kind of Bible you have, if you still believe in Jesus, then you're fine. So, you know, it's a waste of time for modern versions. So there's a plan, step by step. Get us something that is well established. You know, once you get something established and it becomes tradition and doctrine and conditioning and everything else, you just can't hardly knock it. You know, so here it is, been Church England Bible since the 1880s, and the decades are rolling along, you know. Finally, 1946 came along, and guess what happened a couple of years later? Israel became a nation. So they got the first modern translation changed over there in 1946. And so what does a modern translation do? Well, it takes Christ out of Jesus. It won't work unless it is associated with end time deception. And guess what? End time deceptions will happen in the end times, people. They ain't going to happen earlier. There's going to be a lot of deception and a lot of a preceding practice run. Satan, you know, he practices to get it right. He trains his people and get it right, and works on a little bit different, see what's going to work with people and what's not, and how is he going to influence the most people, and on and on and on. He's working at it. After all, he knows that he's got all these years. And now, you know, it's time. Israel became a nation. So what do you think is going to happen, people? Do you think that out of the blue, you're just going to go to heaven? Hold that thought. Okay. got up here where actually the falls are. Going up here a little further here. Yeah, so if you've been holding that thought, what do you think is going to happen, people, with all the counterfeit Bibles and so forth and other stuff, with the deceptions? They can happen now in the last days. And what do you think they're designed to do? Modern versions are designed to take Christ out of Jesus. And so that, whoops, what do you got here? Oh, okay. So that you can read and get conditioned. And so in your mind, you condition yourself to not have Christ and Jesus connected. You'll tell yourself they're the same. You'll swear up and down that Christ and Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. But then you just don't get it. You actually think that things remain status quo. That you're just going to be able to enjoy life as usual. But the deceptions are coming, and they're going to be tremendous. They're going to be tricking you. They're going to be making you think things. You know, the whole name of the game is it's not satanic or demons or something like that. Now you know where I am. Where am I here? Look out. There you go. And so they're going to kind of attack your senses. You're going to smell things, you're going to see things, you're going to hear things. And you're going to believe that these things are real. And even though, you know, we're told it's by faith, you know, we don't know by fact. We only know by faith. Right? Then how come that when something pinches you, you say, ouch. Don't you know? Feelings are a powerful thing. Your emotions are a powerful thing. They're feelings. Pain is a powerful thing. We like to say, nothing can get us afraid or something, you know. We'll die. Still believing in faith. Maybe you will. But you know, there's people that happen to know a little bit about giving you some pain and developing situations to trick you and to deceive you. And you're not well trained in to be able to withstand the trickery of people that are well trained in the trickery. You know, we see a lot of movies, of course, and we think that these movies, that we become ourselves an expert in the situation. And so we keep telling ourselves that we're not going to get tricked into turning our backs on Jesus. But you see, that's the whole idea. Don't you know? That's the whole idea. So keep things in mind that you're going to see greater counterfeits than just a counterfeit Bible. You're going to see things that's going to make you think that man over there may be Jesus after all. Things are going to happen in the sky. And they're not done by demons or spirit or Satan. You see, Satan is much smarter than that. And so he's going to trick you. And not by sending demons. You see, the demons are out doing things and stuff like that, so you can cast them out and a few other things, you know, so you can see things that look like demons getting it and going when you cast them out and everything. That's kind of fun type of thing. You know, Jesus showed you how to do that. So, hey, you know, Satan's taking advantage of that. You see a demon behind every bush, so you're casting them out. All the while, Satan is preparing people and training them, all that. And they happen to be Masons who trace their roots back to the flood, Noah's flood. And they're the ones working there. You can't cast demons out of them. It's by choice. They believe in Lucifer as unfallen. And, you know, it's just not going to happen that you're going to even notice that they're there until it's too late. They're going to be knocking at your door. They're going to send the troops, the foreign troops that are already here, to knock at your door and haul you off to prison camps. And what are you going to do? Anyway, I'm out of time right now. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me my sin and come into my life. Simple prayer gets you saved. Now, read the Bible, the King James Version, and get ready because all kinds of manner of deceptions are about to happen. And you're not even given the idea in your mind that it has any meaning to you. You just think that you got it made. And so you can point fingers at people and think that you can get away with it when you don't try to explain what it is that you're saying. You know, like condemned gays, you say it's so simple. It ain't simple, people. You can't just say it's in the Word of God. You got to back it up by saying what the meaning of these verses are. Thank you. See you next week.